This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, hour number two of the G-Back Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. We do have the Rangers player show coming up in 20 minutes, and we'll talk with Andrew Heaney, who has been dealing. That's the Ranger player show coming up at 3:20. Here's Zach Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
Yeah, Brian looked on up as NFL Live is on the TV screen here and was like, damn, look at all those teams at camp. Yeah, 23 teams have reported to training camp today, and the Dallas Cowboys are on their way to Oxnard right now as they will report tomorrow. We will be flying out there as well with the rest of the station. We've already got some boots on the ground out there. I think our office ace, Tim Collins, is out there along with Carter Freeman.
Talk to DJ. He's there.
DJ. Yeah. Our engineers are getting all set up. So we're ready for training camp coverage 2024. A couple of contract news to tell you about. We got Amari Cooper. He is getting a $5 million raise, while the team is also guaranteeing him the $20 million currently left on his contract. Cooper still is entering the final year of his deal, according to Adam Schefter. It also means $80 million of the $100 million will now have been guaranteed on the contract that he signed with the Cleveland Browns. So good for Amari. I mean, that's more receiver news right there.
Yeah, more money.
More leaves.
More leaves.
More leaves starting to trickle down. Well, speaking of more leaves, Matthew Stafford was due $31 million this season on a four-year, $160 million deal he signed after the Rams Super Bowl win. Stafford has 3 years remaining on the $40 million per year contract extension. He had only $15 million guaranteed after this season, but he is reported to camp. Team is now adjusting his contract as he is seeking more security, according to Schefter. We will get those numbers to follow soon, but they will end up probably also doing similar to what's happened with Amari Cooper, I would assume.
So they saw that our Georgia quarterback, that's like 35 years old.
Stetson Bennett
might not show up. So
well, Bennett, I mean, he did. He had to take a leave of absence from the game last year.
He's back. So maybe
he's not peeing on random doorsteps of apartments here locally in Dallas.
Like, ring cams aren't picking him up right now.
In a drunken stupor.
According
to Over the Cap, Matthew Stafford, this is from May. So this doesn't include the money that he's, I guess, about to be getting, but Matthew Stafford ranks second all time in career earnings, $328 million. Because remember, he was the number one overall pick.
Yeah, he was making that big time money before they put in the slotted pick.
Exactly.
Money.
Yes, before the rookie wage scale.
Sam Bradford was the last one.
I think you're right.
Bradford was the last one.
He was the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. Jamarcus Russell got the fatty boom, but a lot of these guys did. Kudos to him. But yes, you called it. Nice work there, Broadus. Aaron Rodgers is number one, $345 million.
Amazing.
And then it's Brady who ranks third all time. So how about that? Now, that's a bit of a compiler situation for Brady because he never always, like, he didn't always make as much as he could.
I don't know if he was always, like, the number one guy.
But he was making plenty for 20 years.
Sure made a lot of money. Randy Gregory did not report to training camp today with the Bucs now.
With the Bucs? He just signed with them, didn't he?
He did. He did not report to camp. Teams placing him on the reserve did not report
list. I hope everything's okay.
He also did not report to the voluntary offseason workouts or attend the team's mandatory three-day minicamp in June. He's still suing Denver, I believe, and the NFL for time missed.
Haven't talked to Randy in a while, but I just hope everything's okay there.
Yeah.
They always say circle back with people. You never know.
Wish him the
best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jets' Hassan Reddick doesn't report to training camp over a new deal as well. This was after, like,
they traded for this guy.
They traded for him, and I think part of the deal was he said, yeah, I'm not going to hold out for a new deal.
Yeah.
And now he's holding out for the new deal. He's in the final year of his three-year, $45 million contract that he signed with the Eagles. So the now organization's number one pass rusher not showing up, and it's going to cost him $50,000 per day under the fine rules. So we'll see how long that holdout takes for Hassan Reddick. Now we also have Connor Williams, former Cowboy. He's visiting the Seattle Seahawks today following his ACL recovery. Mm. So we'll see if Seattle ends up signing him. Drew Rosenhaus saying he's ready to go. He's made a miraculous recovery. And I remember we reported that thing could have been possibly career-ending in Miami, but good to see that he's getting visits and maybe he'll end up signing somewhere soon. We also had Saquon Barkley and the beef with him and the Giants has really kind of been brought up again with Hard Knocks. So last week I played Joe Shane and the conversation on the phone call, like, hey, we're going to let you go test the market. Joe Shane thinks like I'm doing the right thing here. I'm like letting Barkley go out there, kind of get a feel for what he's worth, and you can come back to us. Will you give us our word? Come back to us with whatever offer you get. Well, Barkley went on Scoop City, the awesome new podcast from Diana Rossini, and he gave his side of the story.
It was over after that phone call, in my opinion.
As soon as he said to go hit the market,
I never in my heart truly believed that they were going to match it, or they only wanted me for a lower price. So, like, at no matter what, I probably wasn't going to go back.
Said it was a slap in the face from the Giants, did Saquon Barkley. And this is stuff you got to think about. I mean, the Cowboys are right now, just from a Cowboys lens, I think we're always doing that.
Yeah.
And they're in negotiations right now with CD, with Dak. Like, you let Dak get to free agency, maybe Dak feels the same way. He's like, you know what? You don't want me? You want me to go test the market? Then fine, I'll do that. But I think this is over now. Marriage is done. Moving on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk that you take when you, you know, negotiate contracts like that. I just think it's so tough because, you know, the Giants are in a situation where they don't want to appear like they closed the door on a fan favorite.
Right.
Absolutely. And Saquon's in a tough spot where you get a team interested in you, and if they feel like you're trying to play us against your former guy, you know, they might sour on you, and you're excited about going to a better team. So it's tough. You know, there's a lot of must-lie situations in sports, and because of that, it's difficult to figure out what's really going on sometimes.
You know, it's what's so bizarre is how wrong the Giants read who was involved.
The market. Yeah,
the market.
They did. And the team.
And the teams. And you remember, you know, somebody asked Joe, like, well, he goes, well, I don't think the Eagles are involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just bad intel right there. If you're a general manager, I mean, you're basing decisions off, you know, who you think might be and who, you know, and then here's the owner, you know, Mr. Merrill walking in there and going, I won't sleep at night if he ends up at Philadelphia. And his general manager's not even sure that Philadelphia is even in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden he ends up in Philadelphia. You know, if you're Mr. Mara, you're probably walking down the hall like, what am I doing here?
I'd be walking down the hall high-fiving guys.
Well, like,
I would say we had this horse for freaking 4 years. We never could do crap with him.
Yeah. I think ultimately I'm with you. I don't think they handled it right. But big picture, I think they did kind of what we would have wanted the Cowboys to do if they were in the situation.
Right.
Barkley, very, very good running back, but often injured. The availability is a concern there. He certainly got more money than I think the Giants clearly were willing to pay and what we probably wanted to pay. And they got a guy in Devin Singletary who's coming off a very good year, and they got him for a fraction of the price.
Mm-hmm.
So how much is that production going to drop off? And honestly, Barkley, probably going to work out better for him too. He's in a better situation now in Philadelphia behind a really good offensive line.
Yeah, it's funny. They're talking about the Barkley stuff so much, and I get it because it's what have you done for me lately. That's the most recent thing. But what they need to be held to the grill for is the Daniel Jones mistake. Because that's the thing that's going to get them to lose their jobs.
Especially them now. There was new video that came out. They're calling Elliot Wolf on draft day like, hey, can we move up to three?
Every clip I see from Hard Knocks is them trying to trade up to replace Daniel Jones.
A year after they gave him $40 million a year.
Yeah, the situation, if I could circle back on Barkley, you do not need this to turn into how Christian McCaffrey went from an off-injured player to...
Kellen Moore's not turning Barkley into that.
I'm just saying that all of a sudden Barkley decides he's going to stay healthy in the offensive line and they kind of find a little rhythm.
I hear you.
Kellen's not going to run. You're absolutely right. If you're a Cowboy fan, you do not need him to turn into Christian McCaffrey and play all 16 games.
Yeah, and he's a huge difference maker for the Eagles offense. Yeah. I hear
you. How much respect do you have for that Jeff Stoutland guy?
Oh, he's a damn good offensive line.
Because he is their run game coordinator. So maybe they're taking the run game stuff out of Kellen's hands, and that would be smart because I don't think Kellen's got time for it.
I think he's got three running players.
They drafted a kid that you need to keep an eye on, I think, is Will Shipley, the kid from Clemson.
Yeah, Shipley's a good runner.
I mean, he is a good runner, and he's a good receiver. And
very
so
good.
That's where I would kind of, you know.
Super shifty player.
Didn't he have a bunch of NIL deals in college with the Shipley's Donuts?
Did he?
Yeah, it was like my favorite NIL deal possible.
That would make perfect sense there.
He was. It's felt like he was there 100 years ago.
It's a great commercial where they're like handing him a box of donuts through the hole, and then he scores a touchdown while he's shoveling them into his face.
Man, Jags have signed their corner Tyson Campbell to a 4-year, $76.5 million extension.
It's a lot of money for a non-Pro Bowl corner, man.
Oh my gosh, he's now one of the highest paid corners in the league. $53.4 million of it is guaranteed. I mean, he's right there in the same ballpark with Denzel Ward, Jalen Ramsey, Marlon Humphrey, Marshawn Lattimore, Diggs. Pretty impressive for Tyson Campbell. Maybe he's one of the better corners that nobody knows of right
now.
But we'll see how he ends up doing. And the Dolphins, they did bring in Yannick Ngakoue. I talked about that yesterday. But they signed back Emmanuel Ogba to a one-year deal, whom they had previously. It's a $5 million contract. That comes after, of course, Shaq Barrett surprisingly retired last week. How are we feeling in South Beach about Ogba coming back?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a dude. His time has passed him as being a super stud.
Former Oklahoma State
Cowboy.
That's
for sure. But that's always the nightmare when one of your free agent acquisitions that you intend on being, I guess, a starter for you at the edge position just hangs him up hours before camp starts.
Man, I know. Isn't that? It's just like, dude, you couldn't have told us this months ago. Why'd you even sign?
I think that's what Ricky Williams did in 2004. It was like right before training camp. He's like, oh, yeah, hey, Dave wants that. I know I'm the entire offense, but I'm going to go do my thing in India for a while.
Bye, man. Just going to go ahead and smoke the herb and live my life and enjoy it. Now,
he's ahead of his time.
He was. The Kelseys are taking a page out of my heart. They're going with a new General Mills pairing, and they're calling it the Kelce Mix. They are putting out a cereal that is a mixture of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs.
Reese's what?
Reese's Puffs. Reese's Puffs. Hmm. So now you can get the Kelce
what?
Mix. They believe it's the best of all three of these cereal worlds, and this is something that I've long did. I mean, we talked about this on Nosebleed Seats for years, Eric. Yeah. I'm a fan of a good mixed bowl.
Yeah.
Certain cereals blend better together than others. But
and what's the best foundation? Is it always Cinnamon Toast Crunch? That's
Cinnamon
the best?
Toast Crunch and Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, Frosted Flakes as well.
Yeah, Frosted Flakes, I think, can pair pretty much with any cereal. Cinnamon Toast Crunch being the OG of cereals, in my opinion, also quite complimentary.
I think that's a natural fit, you know, because you got sugar with sugar and cinnamon. Those complement each other well. When you're mixing in different fruits and different colors with chocolate, that's where I can get nervous for Jason.
Yeah.
You know, I think he might have done a little too much here.
Mix here. The Reese's Puffs might end up throwing this off, you think?
It could. Well, that peanut butter flavor is going to overtake just about every other flavor.
Okay.
I mean, that's just like the Reese's Puffs. And I love Reese's Puffs, but that flavor is pronounced.
And this is all 1-to-1-to-1. There's no ratios involved here.
That's a good question.
Maybe a quarter scoop of the puffs.
I think you can pretty much decide on yourself, but okay. I don't have the ratio of the Kelce Mix.
I feel like that is like one of those things that would be like the ultimate.
This is something they actually did.
Yeah.
That would be the number one thing you could achieve in your life.
At the breakfast table, this is what they did. Hey, let's put these all together.
Apparently.
If I had a trio to do, I would add the Captain to what you got going on.
Oh, I like that.
Crunch, Flakes, Captain Crunch. Dude, over.
Yeah. I mean, they said they put this thing in a popcorn bowl and they just go an entire gallon of milk.
See, now you can't do that. You can't do that, especially if you're dealing with something like Frosted Flakes. By the time you're halfway done, everything in the bottom layer is soggy. Yeah. That's a mush.
I always love a good re-pour of the cereal. You don't have to just like put it all in one bowl at one time. You can always re-pour.
You can always go back.
A splash, a dash of extra milk in there, that's fine too. You're right. The staying power of a Frosted Flake is a matter of seconds.
No,
really.
You get a very soggy bottom and nobody wants soggy bottom.
I think there's like a 10%er, just like these schmoes that like the outside crusty of the brownie. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a selection of people that like the soggy frosted.
They like
flake.
Sit back. They're like, hey, let that thing soak for
what
a little.
What do you have against the edge of the brownie?
It's more about just the quality of that middle brownie and the softness, gushy mushiness of the middle brownie.
Just kind
it
of find out when you
crusties.
When you try and eat the middle part of the brownie, it just falls apart in your hand.
You like the ooey gooeyness?
I love that.
There's no texture to it at all.
I
want to
be licking chocolate off my fingers.
Yeah, is it just crumbling in your hand as you're trying to hold it?
No, it's going right into my mouth. I mean, the lag time from pulling off the pan to in my mouth is a matter of
milliseconds. Oh, I forgot who I was dealing with here.
The corners can fail.
Unhinged jaw man over there.
The consistency of the middle brownie is higher. You know, it can consistently be what it is. If you get too much cooking spray on the outside... Yeah. Now, I'm a corner guy myself.
Oh,
I'm just acknowledging that maybe, you know, Chief has, maybe he was scarred by a bad corner brownie. You know, those can get too crusty.
To be honest with you, Dawson, he just dove into the middle of the plate. He wasn't waiting for the pan to cool.
I can see that.
He just dove straight in, spooned it out, and thought, oh, I'm going to have a take of the center brownie the rest of my life.
And quite frankly, I admire you for it.
Thank you, Walter.
And it is the right approach when you're dealing with the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls. The middle one is at least twice as good as any of the seven on the outside.
That is a guarantee.
Is it the doughiest?
Yes.
Yeah, like when you go to CC's and you get those amazing cinnamon rolls after you just crushed a bunch of pizza.
Yeah.
You always wait. If there's no centerpieces out, I'll sit there and wait. Watch me. I will sit there and stew in my chair.
Have you ever asked
And I'll be watchdogging those guys for a fresh pan to come
tapping?
On out.
Are you tapping the foot? Hey.
I might bring
the fresh cinnamon rolls.
I might go give them a little knock there. What's going on? What's the holdup with the middle cinnamon rolls, folks?
You've also got the brownies there.
Have you ever
there.
Asked anybody to go dig one out of there for you?
Please.
Like, hey, listen, I know you're not going to bring out a fresh pan, but would you get the middle one for me, please?
That's actually not a bad play. I never tried that.
Hey, absolutely. We're gonna
might be worth 20 bucks.
The flag, like Poncho's Mexican Buffet, but I want these for cinnamon
rolls. Yeah.
That's NFL News of the Day for you.
Thank you, bro. There he is, Zach Wolchuk.
Hell of a dismount, Brian.
Does it most days at 3 o'clock right here
about
in the nation.
About time you got that right.
It is time now for the Rangers Player Show, and Andrew Heaney joins us next here in the GBAC Nation. Welcome back, Nation. It's time now for the Rangers Player Show. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And the Rangers Player Show brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary? Yeah, Rangers pitcher having a pretty dang good year. Don't let the win-loss record fool you. Been lights out. A 1-1-7 and 3 starts in July, 3-6 on the season, 5 scoreless in Sunday's win. Andrew Heaney joining us now here on your home of the champs. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How are you? Big dog, we got you. Andrew Heaney, Rangers pitcher, joining us here in the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan. Yeah, he was good on Sunday when you needed him the most.
There was.
And it's so weird how we still do the win-loss record for pitchers, you know, because as we know now, everything goes into it, and, you know, pitchers go a shorter distance than ever, so it's odd, but it's tradition, Brian. It's so important in this game.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, though. The way they've needed him to be big in some of these games, and he has absolutely done that. I think there was some starts that he made earlier in the year where he didn't get the support that he needed, you know, with the bats and stuff, but he was pitching quite well. So it's nice to see him continue on with some of that good that good pitching that we've been accustomed to see him do.
And Andrew Heaney joins us now here on The Fan. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. How are you feeling out there? You feel dialed in, or what's going on out there? Just a tremendous month of July here and having a really good year. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Got off to kind of a slow start, kind of a, you know, not great start to the season, which is kind of normal for me, unfortunately. But in a good groove now and feeling good, just feel good mechanically, kind of have a good feel for all three of my pitches, and just excited to kind of go out there and try and give us a chance to win.
Andrew, we hear a lot that you're one of the guys in the clubhouse that people can go to as like a veteran leadership, veteran voice. What's kind of the pulse of the squad right now? Is a win like last night in walk-off fashion one that you think can really send you on a nice positive run here?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, it has felt like there's been a lot more times than not where it's kind of been even the games we win kind of feel like a grind, feel like a slog. You know, you almost come away from it feeling like a little – a little exhausted from that, you know. But I think a win like yesterday, I think hopefully we'll kind of, you know, maybe ease a little tension, maybe just kind of get guys feeling good about, you know, just kind of a light, exciting game. You know, I mean, I know it was close. It was tense late. You know, Jonah gets a big hit. You know, obviously Wyatt had the two biggest, you know, there late. So, I think so. You know, I can't predict the future, but, you know, I know that, you know, I know guys are coming in every day and doing what it needs to be done. And so hopefully a win like that, maybe it'll just give us a spark.
Is the grind draining? Is there anything different with the energy compared to last year?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, you play an extra month of baseball where every single guy is playing every single pitch and every single, game is important in the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, you know, the season's over, you look up from the parade and you're like, oh, man, normally I'd already be like, you know, starting my lift program and kind of my off season stuff. And you haven't even gotten to take a breath. And so it's like, it was kind of for me, and I can't speak for everybody, but for me, it was like, it was December before I knew it. And I was just like, oh man, I'm kind of behind. So you're trying to balance how much rest versus, you know, your normal prep. And then you come into spring and, you know, the season's not going to start any later for us just because we were the last ones playing. So I do think there is an element to that. And then, you know, I think we took maybe, I don't want to say take it for granted, but last year, you know, we got us such a good start.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of playing with house money early, and it does feel a little bit easier to kind of, you know, weather the storm when it gets a little tough. Whereas this year, obviously, we didn't start off very hot and, you know, haven't played near as well as we would have liked to. So I do think there is an element of probably just fatigue and pressing and all that. But I mean, it's time to go now. I mean, that doesn't matter anymore. You know, everybody knows what happened last year, but nobody cares about it this year.
So. Well, we're still having a great time watching you guys and have all the faith. Just four games back, man. So,
yeah, it's clearly within reach. I mean, I don't think anybody here is feeling defeated. You know what I mean? I definitely don't think that's the attitude here. I think it's just, we understand where we're at. We're not where we want to be, but the only way, you know, to go is forward. So we're just going to keep going.
Love to hear it, man. I know you got a busy day, but give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
I will. Thank you, guys.
Go get him, Heen Dog.
There he goes. Andrew Heaney, brought to you by Golden Chick and Globe Life. Everyone has beneficiaries. Not everyone has life insurance. Globe Life, who's your beneficiary?
Yeah, and also Pluckers. They're going to give him a $100 gift certificate. Thank you so much, Andrew, for being with us. There's eight of those in the DFW, so check them out. Pluckers. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. It's time now for a proper round tripper. Here's Zach Wolchuk. It's brought to you by Uber Eats.
Well, our old buddy, Jordan Montgomery, he's been activated from the 15-day IL. He's going to start tonight against the Kansas City Royals for Arizona. He was on the IL with right knee inflammation. He skipped his rehab assignment, and he's going to get the go tonight. I mean, it's been a little bit of a struggle there for Jordan Montgomery in Arizona. I mean, I think both guys, Montgomery and Blake Snell, they were the top two headliners that seemed like they went so deep into spring training without getting signed. And it's been a rough go of it for both pitchers so far. We also got news on Dodgers starter, former Highland Park stud, Clayton Kershaw. He's going to make his season debut as well. So the Dodgers are getting back Tyler Glass now. He's slated to come back from the IL. He's going to make a start tomorrow. Clayton Kershaw scheduled to make his debut on Thursday for the Dodgers. So two big arms coming back as they look to make a big push here in the second half in the National League for the Dodgers. And in other injury news, Mike Trout in the American League West. We need the Halos maybe to help out a little bit here. Knock off the Astros in their series. Beat the Mariners.
That'd be nice.
Well, he is set to begin a rehab assignment as well. So he is going to begin work this weekend facing live pitching at the Angels Spring Training Complex in Arizona. Then he'll go to a rehab assignment. So the Angels hoping to get Mike Trout back very, very soon.
So unfortunate, man. It's like Ken Griffey Jr.'s career happening all over again. What do you think about what Heen Dog there said about the World Series hangover?
But I think that there's definitely something to that, right? Like, you'd like to say as fans, no, there's not. But yeah, you lose a month that everybody else is out there either getting a rest and recovering, or they've already started their workout plan. So I think that there's something with all of that, the added pressure of now you are the hunted instead of the hunters. You've got the weight of every single night in, night out. You're the reigning World Series champs, and you also lost a portion of the offseason. There's definitely something there. To ignore it would be foolish. I think he was being very, very honest, but I don't think that the confidence has ever wavered inside of that clubhouse.
Yeah, yeah, and I wouldn't expect it to either, especially with professional athletes. I mean, you talk about the ideal life experience to have just tremendous confidence. I think this just goes to like burnout and grinding,
yeah.
You know, and at some point there's just not a lot you can do about it. Like if you obsess over something for long enough, eventually you need a significant break. And I wonder if the game is so demanding in this era that that's an explanation to why. You know, teams have been unable to repeat all century.
The length of the season, I mean, 162, it is an absolute marathon. So you add in, obviously, playing into November, you play an extra month of baseball, however, what, 26 games, however many it ended up being. Yeah, it's taxing. I mean, it's absolutely a grind on the body. And maybe, you know, to your point, I mean, with the offense, I mean, you're pressing.
That's what
bit,
I was
right?
going to say. To me, you know, these pitchers, if there's going to be any type of talk of hangover or anything like that, the pitching staff was outstanding down the stretch through the playoffs. And the quality starts, the relief appearances, the roles these guys were playing, I think they carried that over. I think the pitching has been just fine.
Has been.
They have just not found a way to back up some really – and you know, Heaney talked about not getting off to a great start. He's just being nice. Because there were some games out there where he pitched well into the sixth, seventh inning and got zero run support. You know, all of a sudden he looks up and he's in a 2-1 game and they've gotten three hits. And then he's having to leave and they lose the game, you know, 3-2 or something like that. So I think the pitching has not had the hangover. I think the hitters are the ones that that look like they're the ones that didn't have any type of an offseason.
Yeah, I mean, like a guy like Marcus Semien, he set a record for most at-bats over the course of a season in MLB history. And you're absolutely right. I mean, for Heaney, he's now allowed three or fewer earned runs in all 14 starts since May. That's the longest streak of his career, longest by a Ranger since Kyle Gibson in 2021. He's been brilliant.
I cannot tell you how many times I've watched him pitch and knowing that he's probably only going to get a run. And hope he can make it stand up. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe one pitch gets away from him. It's a two-run homer, and now he's down, and, you know, they're not going to make up that run. You know, but he's pitched in a ton of games where he's gotten zero support.
He has. By the way, baseball coverage on The Fan presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still serve on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Last thing here. The polar bear, Pete Alonso, who I was kind of campaigning for, he's off the market. Mets said, you know what, we're not going to move
him. Starting to win games over there.
According to The Athletic, yeah, Will Salmon said, Mets have informed inquiring clubs that Alonso unlikely to be moved after the Mets are back in the playoff race. Yep.
That stands for make your offers better. You know, call us
unlikely
back here
to be moved,
maybe
but
next week if you're desperate enough. It's time now for a sports hodgepodge, right? Where are we going with?
Oh, I think we're rim session right here. Okay. We have your Team USA Olympic primer that's next in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Can't wait to get to training camp tomorrow. Brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey and Best Buy Windows and Siding. It's time now for some hoops. Here's the chief.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer. G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when we're just over 2 weeks away from Fan Bowl 2024.
Oh, yes, we are.
Saturday afternoon, August 10th, Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. $3,000 in prize money is at stake as RJ Choppy looks to defend his title. Mm. This is going to be wonderful. I'm very much excited for this. And even if you're not going to be playing, you can obviously sign up at 1053thefan.com/events. Get in now before the spots fill up. But even if you're not playing, it's going to be a great just fan hang party opportunity with the best barbecue in the Metroplex. So looking forward to seeing everybody out there Saturday, Hurtado Barbecue, August 10th. And it's a Fan Bowl for the ages. Now, we have the Team USA basketball, how much have you guys watched some of these little tune-up game situations?
We were following yesterday pretty closely against Germany.
Nail-biter, dude.
Yeah.
LeBron took over.
Yeah. He did.
Absolutely took over at the end
channeled.
Of that game. Yeah, he put the country on his back.
Sure did.
And Team USA, I'm excited. I mean, this will be something, I don't know, with the time change and how things are going to get weird when we're in Oxnard, but this is obviously the thing I'm most looking forward to when it comes to the Olympic conversations. But LeBron he's rising to the occasion. Everybody's looking around like, who's the young dude that's going to be stepping up? And late in the game, it's LeBron doing his thing. And LeBron is actually going to be one of three basketball players that have been selected as the flag bearers for their country.
Yeah.
So you guys may have addressed that yesterday, but that's going to be pretty cool. Opening ceremonies Friday in Paris, so LeBron will be the flag bearer. That's pretty dang cool. And then Giannis for Greece and Dennis Schroeder for Germany.
Hell yeah.
So that's what it's going to look like.
Big honor.
Huge honor. And LeBron deserves it, man.
You got to give it to your tall guy, too, so your flack can stand out there.
Damn right.
You can't give it to the respectfully. You can't give it to the short guy.
Well, they couldn't. They probably, if they were like, man, we'd love to give it to Embiid because he is the tallest, but he's also been struggling his balls off in these games.
Yeah.
The FIBA stuff is not for him.
Might foul out.
He's sending shots at the guys, too. You didn't hear what he said? He was sending shots.
Kind of a prankster.
I didn't know he was. What? He's doing a little.
Well, you know, LeBron's not the same LeBron that he used to be, type of thing. Like, he's lashing on this squad. Out. Yeah, you got to relax, bro. They made way for you to get on this squad, and here you go talking.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. And he has just not been, this is not his game. And a lot of it has to do with the amount of flopping he does in the NBA that he gets away with. And in FIBA, they're not here for those games. I love the way these refs are like, no, we're not dealing with this. We're not going to just let you live at the line because you're going to fumble and flop around like a fish out here.
Yeah, you got to be a man to play down low, and not that Embiid isn't, but his style of play is just so different. It's similar to, you know, players from the English Premier League going and playing in the UEFA Champions League. You get international refs, and the next thing you know, the way you're going about it is not optimized for that specific competition. But the American team has a big hole in the middle, and they're leaning way too hard on Anthony Davis. You know, if they fall, it's going to be uncontested layups at the rim and, you know, rebounding issues.
Yeah, you got to have, I mean, when they do the twin towers of Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis in there, then you're like, okay, now they have some defensive backbone here and rim protectors, and those guys are just all defensive monsters.
So,
but when they're off the floor, it's a little bit more difficult. But you get those two guys, you get Drew Holiday out there running some minutes, and all of a sudden they can look pretty locked down. But I think the biggest takeaway is just how fun the LeBron and Steph Curry dynamic has been.
Yeah, they're getting along great.
They're getting along great. You can tell these are two guys that are really trying to appreciate the moment of playing together, because it's pretty unrealistic that they could ever team up, or they certainly didn't at the height of their powers. Maybe something happens at the end here over the next couple of years if they get together, but they're really trying to appreciate this time together, and the amount of give-and-go stuff you've seen between the two of them has been pretty dang awesome.
Steph's been making some crazy shots, too. His usual self. I mean, it's his only, his first Olympics, probably his last one. I mean,
it is so fun.
Enjoy it.
Those are the moments that are making the media swings massive. I've never seen more hyperbole. Like, oh my goodness, this is the best team after the first three games, even though they were on the ropes a couple of times in those games. And now after these last two, even though they won it, it's like, oh, sound the alarms. It's, this is going to be a march to gold, or, you know, this team could get eliminated before the medal round.
I was just kind of wondering with Embiid, the way he is. He was born in Cameroon. Do you think they want to ship him?
That's what I'm saying. They had to make room for him.
Hey,
they
why don't you go back. Wait, actually, you can walk ahead of us, Cameroon before the United States, if you want to walk with their delegation.
Hey, Embiid, did you get that email?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, things didn't come through.
Good news, you get to be a flag bearer.
Yeah.
You get but to it's go. Not going to be the American flag draped over your shoulders.
Hey, Jaylen Brown, you want to come play for us now?
Cameroon's looking for some players. Why don't you step over here?
Please? I saw that they were talking about maybe sitting KD out, but they ultimately decided to leave him on the team. He's dealing with a calf strain.
Yeah.
Same injury that, you know,
the Achilles
predated the Achilles tear a number of years ago. So I'd be super careful with that.
So he's Porzingis now. Is he going to like suit up for the last game as they're going for the medal?
Yeah, just be a part of the team. Pick.
I wouldn't play
on the gold medal.
Doesn't want to be wearing the street clothes.
I'd be scared to death to play if I were him. And if you're the Phoenix Suns, it's like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his agent was frustrated with a Brian Windhorst report, because Windhorst is like, he's not going to be playing on Saturday. And Sage's like, no, feeling good. Absolutely.
Play?
But they don't want to kick him off the team. They got too much respect for him. And they keep saying like, we're gonna really struggle if we're not going to have KD. You know, they're making it seem like they really, really need him. And if he's going to be healthy, then yes, he's a huge difference maker. But it doesn't really feel like that's the case right now. I would still be picking Team USA without him in a no-brainer. There's no other team that I've watched over the course, and it's obviously only ever 4 years. No, but just in terms of the confidence when you watch them. Oh. This is the Team USA basketball since 2008, when I've really been dialed. It's like, this is the most confident I ever am, no matter what happens, the highs and lows
Sudan
of the game.
Thing?
Yeah, I just always know they're going to find a way to win the
game.
I wish
I would have bet a ton of money on Sudan. like at plus to cover 46 yeah. or whatever that was.
Okay, so if I told you
yes.
that the 92 Dream Team on their run to the gold medal played against five NBA players at that time because it wasn't a super yep. Euro league at that point.
Right.
How many players do you think the current 2024 Team USA is going to have to go through? How many NBA players? Dream Team had to go through five NBA players to get to gold. How many do you think the NBA or the Team USA this year is going to have to go through to get to gold?
20. About 27.
31.
The 24 team will face 59 NBA players.
Wow.
Man, that shows you the growth of the international game, man. That's dang incredible.
Right. Dang right. And the challenge, and nobody's questioning, oh, would this team beat Dream Team or whatever, but the road to gold yeah. is so much more difficult now than it was in 92.
Absolutely. Yes.
And you mentioned Team France. That's the one. Yeah. That's the one with the Twin Towers right there. They got Gobert and Wemby. Well, and I'm watching Wemby like freaking take the ball up running point, just hitting pull-up threes in people's faces.
Wasn't it Shea and then Jamal Murray, the backcourt in Canada?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty filthy.
It is. And then in Germany, you had Schroeder. You had the Wagners.
Yeah, the Wagners.
The Wagners. Speaking of the Wagners, we have a Venus Schnitzel Mobile update.
What happened to the Venus Schnitzelmobile?
You'll find out in an hour.
Oscar Mayer okay?
Oscar Mayer himself may be okay.
No.
But perhaps there's some news.
Don't
that
you mess with my Venus Schnitzels.
Needs to be addressed here. Did you guys see LeBron? This is hilarious. I thought he was doing a bit, but apparently it was serious. They did like a free throw contest. Team USA did at practice, but they all had to use their offhand.
Okay.
Whatever not their real hand is. So
what?
LeBron alleges that he's actually left-handed, and so his right hand, which is the way he shoots, is his offhand. So everybody's doing their actual offhand in the competition,
and LeBron
and he's
wins.
Using his right, yes, and no. he wins, and he's like doing the he's crowning himself, and he's all fired up like he won, because his offhand is allegedly his right hand. Such BS.
There's no way he's a lefty.
That's an all-time LeBron lie or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get...
Is that the LeBron cap? Is that what we always talk about?
Yeah, but this
about?
Was like... A, this
I
was
think so, Brian.
He, supposedly, right he is actually left-handed, but he does shoot with his right.
It's funny, though. Yeah, you would think for this scenario, you're off basketball
L-O-J,
hand.
Cool J.
Yes, thank you. Right on cue. So, LeBron doing that. They are pandering to him a little bit. And I think it's well-deserved. Yeah. But I think I draw the line there. Like, somebody should have the cojones to step up and be like, yeah. no, LeBron, this is BS.
Yeah.
Okay, because this video is going viral now, and you're crowning yourself, and you're shooting at the free throw line your right hand.
He's like, I would refuse to shoot another shot. Like, oh, you're making a mockery of this competition? Yeah. Okay, I have places to be, yourself. Guys.
Come on.
You should go read a book.
Killing the competitive spirit here.
Hmm.
The Bronny conversation is the one of the rookies that everybody wants to talk about. Well, we mentioned last week Alex Sarr, who's the second overall pick to Washington. Yeah. He's one of these French dudes that's getting picked high, but he just struggled mightily.
Second overall, right?
His summer league, yes. His final stats for summer league, he went 9 of 47 from the field. It was under 23% true shooting percentage, and his player efficiency rating was 3.8. And John Hollinger says that player efficiency rating mark was the worst of any first rounder at summer league. So off to a tough start there in Washington with the Wizards is Alex Sarr. I do think the PER, that's a little bit BS. Like, I don't really like that metric, but when you're the worst at something, that's it. You don't ever want to be bottom of the barrel.
Well, didn't we say this is Tobias Harris this type of player, right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Best case scenario.
His highest upside.
Yeah.
Well, not even for his. It was just in general. Whoever you pick at the top of the draft,
you're hoping
the ceiling is whatever Tobias Harris is.
Yeah.
Looks like we have another Darko situation on our hands.
Certainly might. Might have a couple of those in the top five this year, man.
Yeah.
And then finally, did you guys see, we know that this upcoming arena in Los Angeles with the Clippers, the Intuit Dome, it's going to be pretty incredible.
Yeah,
a lot of bathrooms,
the toilets.
So many bathrooms.
I'm looking forward to the food.
The fan section.
Yeah. They got the wall, which is pretty cool. But they also have the Halo screen, which is supposed to be a new age sort of Jumbotron deal where they have all sorts of different stuff on there. And it's like a double-sided video board, whatever. You kind of see elements of that at the AAC now with the way they've updated it. You can kind of see underneath it or whatever. But the Halo will have an option to focus on individual players and their story and even the charitable foundation that they donate to. So they might have like little inside the player stuff going on during game action or maybe like between timeouts and stuff like that. I don't know.
Did you say shoe size and everything?
I don't know if they
had. They got shoe size, wingspan, eye color.
I don't know everything about them.
Marital status.
Yeah. Yeah. Children,
side chicks.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing.
And then they
thing,
pan down to them in the crowd. Yeah.
She's waving.
This is who he brought tonight to the game. But the Halo will also have t-shirt cannons to send t-shirts into the upper deck seats. So Ballmer's like, man, these t-shirt cannons, we don't feel like they're getting enough. Yeah, altitude into the nosebleed seats. So our guys in the nosebleed seats, Chuck, starting to get a little bit more love, and they're going to have cannon. You know, this is could be a bit hazardous if you're not paying attention.
Yeah,
you take an ear hole. You know, I don't know what the exit velo on these things are.
I saw a guy get hit in the chest at San Antonio at camp by a t-shirt gun.
Oh, really? Took him off his feet?
Drove him back into his seat.
Wow. That's not even your biggest concern.
Powerful.
Yeah.
You know, the scariest is the people that are sitting in the front row of the upper deck leaning out over.
Oh, and they fall.
Geez. You got a responsibility on that gun to get the trajectory up deep into those sections.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Somebody just falling over the side for a t-shirt.
So you think Steve Ballmer?
I'll tell you, that Whataburger t-shirt, I might have fallen over the side. That Whataburger t-shirt was nice.
That's a worth falling over the side kind of shirt. Is Steve Ballmer, is he out thinking the room on this one? You think he's outstretched himself because he's got the most new age, incredible. We love everything he's doing in this arena. Is there a potential injury/fatality that we need to be concerned about?
Just so
the guys in the nosebleed seats can get their t-shirts.
No, I think he's doing it right, getting the horsepower on that missile launcher, whatever you call those things.
T-shirt cannons.
Sweatiest owner in the league.
Good cannons.
Gotta send it deep.
He's kind of a sweaty guy.
That's only because Sean Miller doesn't own a team though.
He seems like when he's watching the game, he's like going through his shirt. And
yeah,
stuff
Steve
like
Ballmer's number one. That's
he's
only
way too into it.
Just because Bruce Pearl doesn't own a basketball team.
He's got rookie owner energy in like year 12 or whatever he's in.
Jumping up.
They got the AC set on high so he can save some money. What? Yeah, it's fine in here. What are you talking about?
He's just blue shirt. He's just drenched.
Dark blue right under the arms.
Hey, boss,
the neck.
Can I get you something to drink? No, man. We're good.
You're sweating profusely, sir.
Salute to the great Andrew Heaney, who joined us this last hour. We have Woolchuck's top 10 coming up at 4:20, but a college football super segment is next, buddy. What do you got?
Oh no, an LSU arrest, big money to Oklahoma, and a Travis Hunter scouting report. That's next in the Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Can't wait to get to training camp tomorrow. Brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey and Best Buy Windows and Siding. It's time now for some hoops. Here's the chief.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer. G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when we're just over 2 weeks away from Fan Bowl 2024.
Oh, yes, we are.
Saturday afternoon, August 10th, Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington. $3,000 in prize money is at stake as RJ Choppy looks to defend his title. Mm. This is going to be wonderful. I'm very much excited for this. And even if you're not going to be playing, you can obviously sign up at 105throughthefan.com/events. Get in now before the spots fill up. But even if you're not playing, it's going to be a great just fan hang party opportunity with the best barbecue in the Metroplex. So looking forward to seeing everybody out there Saturday, Hurtado Barbecue, August 10th. And it's a Fan Bowl for the ages. Now we have the Team USA basketball. How much have you guys watched some of these little tune-up game situations?
We were following yesterday pretty closely against Germany.
Nail biter, dude.
Yeah.
LeBron took over.
Yeah. He did.
Absolutely took over at the end
channeled.
Of that game. Yeah. He put the country on his back.
Sure did.
And Team USA, I'm excited. I mean, this will be something, I don't know, with the time change and how things are going to get weird when we're in Oxnard, but this is obviously the thing I'm most looking forward to. When it comes to the Olympic conversations. But LeBron he's rising to the occasion. Everybody's looking around like, who's the young dude that's going to be stepping up? And late in the game, it's LeBron doing his thing. And LeBron is actually going to be one of three basketball players that have been selected as the flag bearers for their country.
Yeah.
So you guys may have addressed that yesterday. But that's going to be pretty cool. Opening ceremonies Friday in Paris. So LeBron will be the flag bearer. That's pretty dang cool. And then Giannis for Greece and Dennis Schroeder for Germany.
Hell yeah.
So that's what it's going to look like.
Big honor.
Huge honor. And LeBron deserves it, man.
You got to give it to your tall guy, too, so your flag can stand out there.
Damn right.
You can't give it to the respectfully. You can't give it to the short guy.
Well, they couldn't. They probably, if they were like, man, we'd love to give it to Embiid because he is the tallest, but he's also been struggling his balls off in these games.
Yeah.
The FIBA stuff is not for him.
Might foul
out. Sending shots at the guys, too. You didn't hear what he said? He was sending shots.
Kind of a prankster.
I didn't know he was.
What?
He's doing a little.
Well, you know, LeBron's not the same LeBron that he used to be, type of thing. Like, he's lashing out. Yeah, wow. You got to relax, bro. They made way for you to get on this squad. And here you go talking.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. And he has just not been, this is not his game. And a lot of it has to do with the amount of flopping he does in the NBA that he gets away with. And in FIBA, they're not here for those games. I love the way these refs are like, no, we're not dealing with this. We're not going to just let you live at the line because you're going to fumble and flop around like a fish out here.
Yeah, you got to be a man to play down low. And not that Embiid isn't, but his style of play is just so different. It's similar to, you know, players from the English Premier League going and playing in the UEFA Champions League. You get international refs, and the next thing you know, the way you're going about it is not optimized for that specific competition. But the American team has a big hole in the middle, and they're leaning way too hard on Anthony Davis. You know, if they fall, it's going to be uncontested layups at the rim and, you know, rebounding issues.
Yeah, you got to have, I mean, when they do the twin towers of Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis in there, then you're like, okay, now they have some defensive backbone here and rim protectors, and those guys are just all defensive monsters.
So,
but when they're off the floor, it's a little bit more difficult. But you get those two guys, you get Drew Holiday out there running some minutes, and all of a sudden they can look pretty locked down. But I think the biggest takeaway is just how fun the LeBron and Steph Curry dynamic has been.
Yeah, they're getting along great.
They're getting along great. You can tell these are two guys that are really trying to appreciate the moment of playing together, because it's pretty unrealistic that they could ever team up, or they certainly didn't at the height of their powers. Maybe something happens at the end here over the next couple of years if they get together, but they're really trying to appreciate this time together, and the amount of give-and-go stuff you've seen between the two of them has been pretty dang awesome.
Steph's been making some crazy shots, too. His usual self. I mean, it's his only, it's first Olympics, it's probably his last one. I mean,
it is so fun.
Enjoy it.
Those are the moments that are making the media swings massive. I've never seen more hyperbole. Like, oh my goodness, this is the best team after the first three games, even though they were on the ropes a couple of times in those games. And now after these last two, even though they won it, it's like, oh, sound the alarms. Mm. It's, this is going to be a march to gold, or, you know, this team could get eliminated before the medal round.
I was just kind of wondering with Embiid, the way he is. He was born in Cameroon. Do you think they want to ship him?
That's what I'm saying. They had to make room for him.
Hey,
they
you could go back. Wait, actually, you can walk ahead of us. Cameroon before the United States, if you want to walk with their delegation.
Embiid, did you get that email?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, things didn't come through.
Good news, you get to be a flag bearer.
Yeah.
You get but to it's go, not going to be the American flag draped over your shoulders.
Hey, Jaylen Brown, you want to come play for us now?
Cameroon's looking for some players. Why don't you step over here?
Please? I saw that they were talking about maybe sitting KD out, but they ultimately decided to leave him on the team. He's dealing with a calf strain.
Yeah.
Same injury that, you know,
the Achilles
predated the Achilles tear a number of years ago. So I'd be super careful with that.
So he's Porzingis now. Is he going to like suit up for the last game as they're going for the medal?
Yeah, just be a part of the team.
I wouldn't
play it on the gold medal.
Doesn't want to be wearing the street clothes.
I'd be scared to death to play if I were him. And if you're the Phoenix Suns, it's like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, his agent was frustrated with a Brian Windhorst report, because Windhorst is like, he's not going to be playing on Saturday. And Sage's like, no, feeling good. Absolutely.
Did he play?
But they don't want to kick him off the team. They got too much respect for him. And they keep saying like, we're gonna really struggle if we're not going to have KD. You know, they're making it seem like they really, really need him. And if he's going to be healthy, then yes, he's a huge difference maker. But it doesn't really feel like that's the case right now. I would still be picking Team USA without him in a no-brainer. There's no other team that I've watched over the course, and
France.
It's obviously only ever 4 years. No, but just in terms of the confidence when you watch them. Oh. This is the only Team USA basketball since 2008 when I've really been dialed. It's like, this is the most confident I ever am, no matter what happens, the highs and lows
Sudan
of the game.
Thing?
Yeah, I just always know they are going to find a way to win the game.
I wish I would have bet a ton of money on Sudan. Like it plus
to cover
46 or whatever that was.
Okay, so if I told you
that
the 92 Dream Team on their run to the gold medal played against five NBA players at that time, because it wasn't a super Euro league at that point.
Right.
How many players do you think the current 2024 Team USA is going to have to go through? How many NBA players? Dream Team had to go through five NBA players to get to gold. How many do you think the NBA or the Team USA this year is going to have to go through to get to gold?
20.
About 27.
31.
the 24 team will face 59 NBA players.
Wow.
Man, that shows you the growth of the international game, man. That's incredible.
Right. Dang right. And the challenge, and nobody's questioning, oh, would this team be dream team or whatever, but the road to gold is so much more difficult now than it was in 92.
Absolutely. Yes.
And you mentioned Team France. That's the one. Yeah. That's the one with the Twin Towers right there. They got Gobert and Wemby. Well, and I'm watching Wemby like freaking take the ball up running point, just hitting pull-up threes in people's faces.
Well, isn't it Shea and then Jamal Murray, the backcourt in Canada?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty filthy.
It is. And then in Germany, you had Schroeder. You had the Wagners.
Yeah, the Wagners.
The Wagners. Speaking of the Wagners, we have a Venus Schnitzel Mobile update.
What happened to the Venus Schnitzel Mobile?
You'll find out in an hour.
Oscar Mayer okay?
Oscar Mayer himself may be okay.
No.
But perhaps there's some news.
Don't
that
you mess with my Venus Schnitzels.
Needs to be addressed here. Did you guys see LeBron? This is hilarious. I thought he was doing a bit, but apparently it was serious. They did like a free throw contest. Team USA did at practice, but they all had to use their offhand.
Okay.
Whatever, not their real hand is. So
what?
LeBron alleges that he's actually left-handed, and so his right hand, which is the way he shoots, is his offhand. So everybody's doing their actual offhand in the competition,
and LeBron
and he's
wins.
Using his right, yes, and he wins, and he's like doing the he's crowning himself, and he's all fired up like he won, because his offhand is allegedly his right hand. Such BS.
There's no way he's a lefty.
That's an all-time LeBron lie or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get...
Is that the LeBron cap? Is that what we always talk about?
Yeah, but this
about?
Was like... A, this
I
was
think so, Brian.
He, supposedly, he is actually left-handed, but he does shoot with his right.
It's funny, though. Yeah, you would think for this scenario, you're off basketball hand.
Cool,
yes, thank you. Right on cue. So, LeBron doing that. They are pandering to him a little bit. And I think it's well-deserved. Yeah. But I think I draw the line there. Like, somebody should have the cojones to step up and be like, no, LeBron, this is BS.
Yeah.
Okay, because this video is going viral now, and you're crowning yourself, and you're shooting at the free throw line, your right hand.
He's like, I would refuse to shoot another shot. Like, oh, you're making a mockery of this competition?
Yeah.
Okay, I have places to be, yourself. Guys.
Come on.
You should go read a book.
Killing the competitive spirit here.
Hmm.
The Bronny conversation is the one of the rookies that everybody wants to talk about. Well, we mentioned last week Alex Sarr, who's the second overall pick to Washington. Yeah. He's one of these French dudes that's getting picked high, but he just struggled mightily.
Second overall, right?
His summer league, yes. His final stats for summer league, he went 9 of 47 from the field. It was under 23% true shooting percentage, and his player efficiency rating was 3.8. And John Hollinger says that player efficiency rating mark was the worst of any first rounder at summer league. So off to a tough start there in Washington with the Wizards is Alex Sarr. I do think the PER, that's a little bit BS. Like, I don't really like that metric, but when you're the worst at something, that's, you don't ever want to be bottom of the barrel.
Well, didn't we say this is Tobias Harris, this type of player, right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Best case scenario.
His highest upside.
Yeah.
Well, not even for his. It was just in general. Whoever you pick at the top of the draft,
you're hoping
the ceiling is whatever Tobias Harris is.
Yeah.
Looks like we have another Darko situation on our hands.
Certainly might. Might have a couple of those in the top five this year, man.
Yeah.
And then finally, did you guys see, we know that this upcoming arena in Los Angeles with the Clippers, the Intuit Dome, it's going to be pretty incredible.
Yeah,
a lot of bathrooms.
The toilets.
So many bathrooms. So many bathrooms.
I'm looking forward to the food.
The fan section.
Yeah. They got the wall, which is pretty cool. But they also have the Halo screen, which is supposed to be a new age sort of Jumbotron deal where they have all sorts of different stuff on there. And it's like a double-sided video board, whatever. You kind of see elements of that at the AAC now with the way they've updated it. You can kind of see underneath it or whatever. But the Halo will have an option to focus on individual players and their story. And even the charitable foundation that they donate to. So they might have like little inside the player stuff going on during game action or maybe like between timeouts and stuff like that. I don't know.
Did you say shoe size and everything?
I don't know if they
They got shoe size, wingspan, eye color.
You don't know everything about them.
Marital status.
Yeah. Yeah.
Children.
Side chicks.
Yeah.
But the coolest
thing. And then
they
pan down to them in the crowd.
Yeah. She's waving.
This is who he brought tonight to the game. But the Halo will also have t-shirt cannons to send t-shirts into the upper deck seats. So Ballmer's like, man, these t-shirt cannons, we don't feel like they're getting enough altitude into the nosebleed seats. So our guys in the nosebleed seats, Chuck, starting to get a little bit more love, and they're going to have cannon. You know, this is could be a bit hazardous if you're not paying attention. Yeah, you take an ear hole. You know, I don't know what the exit velo on these things are.
I saw a guy get hit in the chest at San Antonio at camp by a T-shirt gun.
Oh, really? Took him off his feet?
Drove him back into his seat. Wow.
That's not even your biggest concern.
Powerful.
Yeah.
You know, the scariest is the people that are sitting in the front row of the upper deck leaning out over.
Oh, and they fall.
Geez. You got a responsibility on that gun to get the trajectory up deep into those sections.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Somebody just falling over the side for a T-shirt.
So you think Steve Ballmer?
I'll tell you, that Whataburger T-shirt, I might have fallen over the side. That Whataburger T-shirt was nice.
That's a worth falling over the side kind of shirt. Is Steve Ballmer, is he out thinking the room on this one? You think he's outstretched himself because he's got the most new age, incredible. We love everything he's doing in this arena. Is there a potential injury/fatality that we need to be concerned about?
Just so
the guys in the nosebleed seats can get their T-shirts.
No, I think he's doing it right, getting the horsepower on that missile launcher, whatever you call those things.
T-shirt cannons.
Sweatiest owner in the league.
Good cannons.
Gotta send it deep.
He's kind of a sweaty guy.
That's only because Sean Miller doesn't own the team, though.
He seems like when he's watching the game, he's like going through his shirt.
Steve Ballmer's number one. That's
he's
only
way too into it.
Just because Bruce Pearl doesn't own a basketball team.
He's got rookie owner energy in like year 12 or whatever he's in.
Jumping
now.
Up.
They got the AC set on high so they can save some money.
What? Yeah, it's fine in here. What are you talking about?
He's just blue shirt. He's just drenched.
Dark blue right under the arms.
Hey, boss,
the neck.
Can I get you something to drink? No, man. We're good.
You're sweating profusely, sir.
Salute to the great Andrew Heaney, who joined us this last hour. We have Woolchuck's Top 10 coming up at 4:20. But a college football super segment is next, buddy. What do you got?
Oh, no, an LSU arrest. Big money to Oklahoma and a Travis Hunter scouting report. That's next in the nation.